direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's Rockin' Ricky Rialto.
It's like honey in your ear holes.
That's right. It's a superiority complex. God, I love the opening to Gremlins. I really do. I really do love that opening scene of Bedford Falls. And no, I'm just doing the show by myself, guys. We're not just me and Justine are in here.
Okay, have fun.
Okay, I'll get something to eat.
How you doing? John had pizza.
It's like Gremlins in your ear hole.
Patrick had, I don't know what Patrick had.
Chinese food.
Justine's drinking boba. And boba. Patrick, is, or, I'm sorry, Jake is skirting danger. He's flirting with danger by eating sesame. He has the sesame seeds dangerously close.
I just like the fact that it's going to be me jumping across the table and not you because it's driving me insane.
Oh, no, I've had my fill.
Yeah.
We're good.
Eating on mic, always frowned upon here at the... in the Superiority Complex Studios. Before we get started, we have a full plate today. But before we get started, we have a couple of announcements. Our friend, the producer, the man on the ones and twos, the great Renee, great friend of the show, works his butt off here at Undercity Comics, making your pull list as complete as possible every week. He has started, once again, ventured into the wonderful world of podcast hosting. They don't have an episode posted yet. They are working on it, but keep it. It will be hosted on Podbean, I'm told, and it is the name of it is Nerd It Down. Nerd It Down. And he also has Shane, my son, and my daughter-in-law, Lauren, will be on the show as well. So check it out.
So are we sponsoring them?
They're not. No, they're not affiliated with us.
Oh, okay.
Although we should invite them to be part of the Castaways group. That would be nice.
Yeah, it's like a free follow on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a free, like, do I attend?
Yeah, it's like a free 20 follow. Yeah.
Boom.
Once I put my name on something, it's eternally mine. Remember that from Saturday Night Live? Once Buckwheat sings a song, it's eternally his.
Including question mark.
Also, on a more serious note, go follow the gentleman. He's one of our friends of a friend on Twitter. It's at Caleb Says Stuff. Gentleman by the name of Caleb, co-host of a podcast called I think it's Humans Are Terrible. People are terrible or humans are terrible.
That's great.
And I'm terrible for not knowing the name.
That's so great. Humans are terrible.
Case in point right here.
Case in point. But unfortunately, Caleb has been diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and so he has started a GoFundMe page to try to sort of alleviate some of the cost of having to miss work to help him and his family out. So if you want to go there, just follow at Caleb Says Stuff, and you will find his Twitter profile, and there's a link to the GoFundMe page right on the Twitter profile. So please, please, please do that now and help a friend out. It's Christmas. Help a friend out. Now it is time for the Digital Movie Club. Who is going to handle the opening? Jake.
Bum bum. Bum bum. Bum bum.
Digital movie! Digital movie! Digital movie!
What a fanfare.
I can't wait till you record this and edit. We don't have to do this every time.
No, we're doing it live. Every time.
Every time. It makes it special.
We're doing it live. We're doing the Bill What's-His-Name. What's that guy's name? Who says we're doing it live?
The Bill What's-His-Name.
It's the news reporter. Bill, not Bill Maher. Bill.
He's the jackass.
Yeah, he's the guy. Fuck it, we're doing it live. We'll do it live, damn it.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Conservative pundit.
Yeah.
Talking head.
There was a huge scandal with him like that.
Are we going chronologically?
Well, we can't. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I say we save the best for last.
So It's a Wonderful Life last.
It's a Wonderful Life. We'll go
Gremlins last. Got it.
I love Gremlins.
That's probably the best because everything else
I don't know what year Lethal Weapon
I felt
Weapon
the sincerity in your voice.
Lethal I do.
And Die Hard was.
Lethal Weapon. They are right after one another. I think
87, 88.
Yeah, it's 87, 88. Lethal Weapon is first.
Okay, yeah. We'll go chronologically.
And Gremlins is 84, I think, so.
La, 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 la.
Okay,
la,
so we won't go chronologically.
Well, we will until we get to It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And then we'll go.
Well, what do you want to do first? You sound like you have an idea of what you want to do first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Justine, what do you want to do first?
Let's do No, I don't know.
Let's do it.
No, chronological is great, but we just save It's a Wonderful Life for last because it's a classic.
Yes.
Mm. Everything else came out within like a year or two of each other.
Yes. Oh, God.
Tread lightly. Tread lightly. I
really?
Really? Okay, let's go. What are we doing first?
You ready for this?
Let's do
Gremlins.
Let's do Gremlins first because Gremlins is always have a soft spot for it. And we started that nice opening, that dynamic opening we did with the Rock and Ricky Rialto.
Yeah. And that was Don Steele.
Was that true?
That was the real Don Steele, yeah.
Now, here's the great thing about that. The Rock and Ricky Rialto sign, if you remember, John, there was a period in the 80s where everything had the Indiana Jones font. Remember that? Everything.
Yeah.
Everything had the Indiana Jones font.
And Spielberg, I think, said that he'd been through that before with Close Encounters because there was a whole year or two where everything was, you know, close values of the, you know, of the used car kind, you know. Was like, come down to the laundromat and get, you know, great sales of the Close Encounters time. You know.
Oh, Regency Granada Hills is showing Gremlins this week.
Well, it's a Christmas movie.
If you're out in Granada Hills, check it out. Man. I had the honor of seeing this on the big screen with my cousin... My cousin Pete, I think my brother took us to see this. We were probably 13, 14 years old at the time. Ugh.
Great on the big screen because of the scene where they're in the theater.
Yes.
All the Gremlins are in the theater. Yeah.
By the way, Quentin Tarantino, way to rip off Gremlins in Inglourious Basterds. The finale of Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They lock everybody in the theater.
Yeah. That's right. Hadn't thought of that. Yeah. And neither had he.
No, he did. Now, who had not seen Gremlins before?
Ah,
I will say it was a refresher for me, though, because I haven't seen it in a long time. That I forgot
Same.
About a lot of scenes in that.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of this? Right here. Wait, hold on a second.
I forgot about it. Like, they forgot about the professor that died.
They didn't forget about him.
They totally forgot about him.
What are we talking about?
They completely forgot
Let's
about
not
the professor.
Talk about that this guy's
who got
dead.
Mauled by the gremlin.
Oh, is he dead? I mean, he's got a hypodermic in his back.
Oh, he's super
he's dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
He's dead, and let's just not.
The dermic wasn't in his back. It was in his ass.
Let's just forget
what?
The
Say it. Ass.
Oh, their laughs drove me crazy.
Is this like a remix or something?
It sounds like Danny Elfman, if I ever heard it.
This is a Michael Cimbello song. For the Gremlins soundtrack.
And he did Flashdance. Right?
Yes, which is why they did that little scene...
With the leg warmers.
With the leg warmers, yeah. Some of those don't hold up. Some of those references.
At the time, it was pretty current.
It was pretty
good,
yeah.
Only you can see my feet right now.
That was a good song.
Yeah, you look like them when they're laughing.
I love the Bogart Gremlin with the fedora.
Yeah.
With the drink.
I like the Miles Davis one, just with the trumpet. The other one does like a puppet show for him.
Yeah.
It's just so wacky.
The puppet show is so
cute. It gets progressively weirder, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what? And Gremlins 2 is a good sequel.
Don't even
sequel.
Want to see the
sequel. It's great.
That was at the mall, right?
Yes. Well, it's like a complex. It's like a condo.
It's like an apartment complex.
Oh, okay. Yes. I know that one.
That's weirder.
Here's what's great about Gremlins 2. One of the Gremlins can talk, and it's voiced by Tony Rand.
That's right. That's right. You know, that is a much wilder movie because he said, I'm only going to do a sequel. They badgered him for years. He said, I'm only going to do it if I can do whatever I want. I got to have carte blanche to go as out there as possible because they just badgered him. Come on, we need a second one. He's like, okay, but I want to do it my way. You know?
Well, let's talk about first of all, the team that brought us. Of course, Spielberg is your producer, right? Amblin Entertainment produces it. You have Joe Dante as your director.
Oh, what a great director.
Screenplay is by Chris Columbus, who will go on himself to be another...
Christopher Columbus?
The one that sailed? The one that sailed the ocean blue?
Home Alone, right?
Chris Columbus goes on and does Home Alone.
And young Sherlock Holmes, I think.
Yeah, well, the great thing about... When I let him do those jokes, because then when you and I do something, Patrick, and then you just sit there, we let it breathe, and it's just amazing. And you let them, you know what I mean? They just came up from the minors.
You gotta let Patrick's breathe because they're shit.
Whoa.
Damn.
Chris Columbus went on to do stuff like Home Alone, you're right, John. Mm-hmm. He did the first Harry Potters.
I like it.
Did you know that Howie Mandel voiced Gizmo?
Yes, that's true. That is absolutely
that
true.
Absolutely blew my mind when I saw that.
Were you excited about
just
it?
Just to see Howie Mandel doing like little tiny chirps and
asking if
yum yums.
He was actually asking in Mogwai language if he wanted to take the deal. That's a great thank you. That's how we do it. Dead silence. I got nothing.
He's perfect for that. He's perfect guy to do that. I think Frank Welker, who did all the sound effects on The Simpsons, is doing like the rest of the Gremlins, I think. Who did like the dog, you know, on The Simpsons and all that. He's doing all the other Gremlins, I think.
Isn't Frank Welker the voice of Optimus Prime?
That's possible.
No, is that... Wait. Find out who it is.
I thought that was Orson Welles.
No.
Oh, you mean in the newer Transformers movies. Suddenly, everything screeched to a halt.
Scooby-Doo.
Well, we're still trying to recover from that.
Aladdin, Garfield.
Aladdin,
from that
Garfield.
Poor taste.
He's
poor taste.
From the show Transformers Prime.
Oh, maybe he wasn't. Okay. I forgot who the name
was. He was in Futurama.
Frank Welker. Right?
Yeah, Frank Welker. Yeah, he was in Transformers. He's Optimus Prime.
He's famous whenever they need like barks or grunts.
Peter
or
Cullen.
Growls.
I'm sorry. Peter Cullen. But they work together.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
That's it. It's just funny because you need people that are specialties and
He's Megatron.
He's Megatron.
Mm. There you go.
Let me ask you this, Jake.
Yes.
How old were you when you first saw Gremlins?
Oh, God. Younger than I probably should have been.
Did it freak you out?
No, it's just watching it now is like, wow, this is kind of a fucked up movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Gremlins melting, or the guy at the one at the end melting into a pool of acid
in
and
the
then
sunlight,
seeing
what about the one in the microwave
skin and blowing up in the microwave and getting blended.
That is iconic in my nightmares.
Shout out to his mom, though. Like, she
said
her own.
That's what I said on Twitter. I go, for of all the horror,
that's
you know,
a real horror
we
movie.
We give a lot of credit to Jamie Lee Curtis and...
This one did even better.
Sigourney Weaver for being badass. Yeah, she goes in the kitchen and just starts...
Toe-to-toe.
Whipping ass.
She hears the noises, immediately grabs a
knife
and is ready to
go.
Who
does that? Yeah. That was perfect.
It's a darker movie than people remember.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Once you watch it, you go, oh, this has got some dark moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially, not only that, this shares a lot with Lethal Weapon and It's a Wonderful Life in that there's a suicide that plays a major role. Not a suicide, but a death that plays a major role in what's going to happen. You know, you have...
old lady gets shot out the window.
Well, the P.V. Cates' dad. She tells story about her dad.
That's a hell of a scene where she has to tell him finally why she hates Christmas. It's a hell of a scene.
Yeah.
Who thinks that... I mean, for people that think that all Phoebe Cates could do is look good in a bikini, that's a hell of a scene to pull off, you know? Yeah.
And she looks good in a bikini.
And she looks very good in a red bikini, yeah.
Yeah, this is post Fast Times.
I know, because I forgot she was in this. I hadn't seen this movie in a few years, and I forgot she was in this.
It's so weird because Billy seems super nerdy and incapable, but he's actually very capable too.
Yeah, and he's the typical Chris Columbus hero.
Yeah,
he seems to write. It's kind of like Spielberg. They write these sort of nebbishy heroes, you know.
And then you get Judge Reinhold
as the slime ball.
Yeah. Good old Judge Reinhold.
He had his moment. You
a
know?
Bunch of people from Fast Times turn up. And then a bunch of people from all the team. Then the grandpa from 16 Candles is the bank manager.
Yeah.
Then you get Flo from
Alice.
Mrs. Deagle.
And you know, that town looks like Bedford Falls.
It does look like Bedford
Falls. I'm sure he was shooting for that. That opening shot, he's looking for like the Bedford Falls thing. Yeah.
Just seeing how old were you when you first witnessed the greatness that is Gremlins?
I don't know. I would have been really young. I was born in 86.
Wow.
So this movie came out before I was born, but I remember watching it really young.
That's great. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. And it does have genuinely
horrific
scary moments.
Mm-hmm. You got to remember, Joe Dante directed The Howling.
Yeah.
Which predates American Werewolf in London.
Did you catch what they were watching on TV?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
I was like, I know this movie.
I've seen that movie.
And Gizmo's eyes roll. This is too scary.
The pods. That's it.
A lot of things playing on TV in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
John and I were discussing in the background, there's this, when you first do the shot of the town, there's a shot of the movie marquee, and two movies are playing called Watch the Skies and A Boy's Life, which were alternate titles for A Boy's Life was an alternate title for E.T., and Watch the Skies was an alternate title for Close Encounters, which is where Watch the Skies actually comes from The Thing, the original Thing, which is what they say at the end.
Keep
watching the skies.
Wherever you are, watch the skies.
Oh,
and speaking of which, the gas station attendant is the hero in The Thing. Did you notice the guy with the red hair?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who gets the smokeless ashtray? Yeah. Doesn't have a line, just coughs a lot. That's the hero in The Thing.
Yeah, it's I can't remember his name.
Toby, right. Kenneth Toby? Kevin
Toby? Something? I recognize him right away. Yeah. And then you have Robbie the Robot making a cameo.
Oh, so great. And he's doing the dialogue.
He's
doing the dialogue about the making the drinks for Earl Holloman, yeah.
One of the best lines is right towards the end when they're just breaking into the department store and you hear one of the radios go off and the firemen are getting ready. They're getting all their hoses. And you're just like, son of a bitch. We're going to blast them away with water.
He dives in the pool.
Yeah.
Oh, and Key Luke, my God. Key Luke, so great. Yes. So great. And really, what a great bookend, you know, to have him at the beginning and the end. You know, you people are not ready.
Magwai. On a scale of...
Hi, Billy.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how cute is Gizmo in the all-time
10.
Cutesy?
10 out of 10.
Give him like a 6. He can be kind of creepy.
No.
No, never creepy.
Adorable.
You see, never.
You just want to cuddle with him.
Bright light, bright light. I'd give him a piece of chicken after midnight.
Oh, it's so great when he sees that they've chewed through the... He's like, wait a minute. They've chewed through the cord.
Yeah.
11:30.
I used to try to pull it on my dad, to pull the alarm clock so I wouldn't have to go to school. But his internal clock would not be fooled. Tried it. Patrick, how old were you when you first...
I probably watched this when I was like 10.
Did you love it?
Yeah, it was great. It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It's just something that you can watch and laugh and have fun with.
I can't remember the actor's name, but he's in every Joe Dante movie.
Dick Miller. Because he was in every Roger Corman movie.
Yeah.
He's in Matinee, he's in Piranha, he's in every movie.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah.
Miller was the guy who the snowplow. The neighbor with the snowplow.
Yeah, yeah. American-made. This would never happen with an American-made.
You will see him in a lot of movies.
You're right. He turns up in every Joe Dante movie.
He really does.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. So cool. So cool. He always has a great part.
Yeah, he's always kind of brusque or kind of like annoyed. Or,
Talk about an actor. You give him like a couple small scenes and he's so, you know what I mean? He just steals every scene he's in, you know? For him, it's funny. He's one of these guys. To him, he's the lead in the movie. You know? He's performing as if he's the lead, you know?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Damn foreign cars. There's a really nice little scene where he's in the chair. The antenna's going crazy, which who knows what that is anymore. He goes outside to check the antenna, and his wife immediately jumps in the chair, which there's a lot of unspoken tension there. It's like she never gets to sit in that chair, and she finally gets to sit in the chair while he goes outside. And then it ends up being her doom because she's right there when the snowplow comes through. Not really. She's trying to get him out of the way.
Yeah.
There's a gremlin in my cab.
Because they both turn up in Gremlins too, don't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. They're like in New York. They both turn up in New York. Maybe as different characters.
Maybe.
Yeah, because he puts them in the second movie.
Oh, yeah, they're dead.
Because what's his name? William Shallert always appears in Joe Dante movies too. And in this one, he is the priest. And you guys know William Shallert as the guy who is loading the little girl into the ambulance in Them, right? When they hear the first... car with a bad radiator belt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ooh, must be the wind or something. William Shallert, he'll turn up again too in another Joe Dante movie we're doing. I'm not going to tell you which one, John, because...
Oh, is that going to turn up on the list? Matinee?
No. You know, that is very hard to find.
I've got two copies. You want one?
Yes.
That's my favorite Joe Dante movie.
Did you try catching it, you know, like...
What about...
O'clock?
You've seen it, right?
What about Captain America? Yeah, Mant.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That should not be out of print. They recently put that out with extras.
I'll check it out.
But if you need a copy, that's how much I love it. It's like Paper Moon. I've got, like, multiple copies.
I love it.
If somebody says, oh, I haven't seen that, I can go, here you go.
Ooh.
Matinee is wonderful.
Yeah, I'm like that with Transformers the movie. Mm. I'm kidding.
I kid.
Did this movie hold up for you? When was the last time you watched Gremlins? Let's talk about it, guys.
For me, it was a while. I hadn't seen it probably in 10 years.
Oh, it's been a long time, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is...
Definitely. Did it hold up for you?
Held up for me.
Yeah, it's still really funny. It's a lot more enjoyable as adult because you get a lot more of the adult humor in there.
And you know, it's not dated because when it was shot, he was trying to make it timeless. It's obvious the way he shot it. It's not supposed to feel like the 80s. There's a couple little references.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
But it was shot to look like a movie out of time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though it's not a period piece, he shot that so it would look like sort of like a, you know, a fable, you know, a town in a story.
I love it.
Yeah. Don't you agree?
I do.
There's nothing that screams out this is 80s. There's no music, you know.
I believe that every...
That kind of says, except, hey, this is the 80s.
Except for the leg warmer.
Yeah, know? That's a very small scene. That
I love the fact that, I in my mind, all of the Spielberg movies take place in the same universe. So that, you know.
Right.
It works. Yeah. I could see it.
You know, like Indiana Jones probably found the original Mugwai somewhere and brought it back, and that's how it ended up. In that.
Right. This is, even though he's producing, it's definitely got his it's sort of his stamp on it.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason he liked Joe Dante is he said out of all the Jaws ripoffs, of which there was many, he thought Piranha was the best. He says out of all the people doing Jaws knockoffs, Piranha really had some wit and some skill, and so he was eager to work with Joe Dante.
That's
so
crazy.
He said, "Yeah, this is the guy to do Gremlins." You know.
What I wonder if they did Killer Fish with the
Piranha?
No, Killer Fish was with Lee Majors and Karen Blank.
Wow, that sounds like a TV movie.
They just did it on Mystery Science Theater. It was awful,
wow,
but good.
Lee Majors and Karen Black? Mm-hmm. I don't even remember that. It was called Killer Fish?
Killer Fish.
You know what's crazy is when you don't even have enough imagination to give it a better title.
And you know who else was in it? James Franciscus is the bad guy. Our friend from Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Well, boy, he's in a lot of stuff.
Low-rent Charlton Heston.
You will see him in a lot of things. Some people turn up in a lot of stuff.
I want to know what... I'm curious to find out the ratings on Gremlins, but let's give it the... it's it was 1980. It was released June 8th, 1984, directed by Joe Dante. Produced by Kathleen Kennedy, Frank Marshall. You know, the team that brought you all of your favorite 80s movies. Justine, what are you going to give this one? 7.2 on IMDb, 84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm.
What do you give it?
I'll give it a 5.
What?
What? Yes, it brought me back to like sometimes, but I was really terrified of Gremlins when I was little.
Oh, so this is like...
Too effective.
Because I always remember the microwave scene.
Uh-huh.
And
I
remember going to the mall and you go into the Warner Brothers store.
Warner Brothers?
The Warner Brothers store. And there's a gremlin, but it's that kind of gremlin. In the middle of the circle.
Uh-huh.
You know the Warner Brothers red little circle?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'd be right there in the middle and it's just... And he's staring down at you. It's just... Ugh. It was always creepy.
I forgot about the Warner Brothers stores.
But what about the song? Yeah.
Everybody did.
Like the Disney stores.
I don't forget. That was cool because they used to sell the artwork.
Yes.
And they would have all the stuff there. It was super cool to go to Warner Brothers.
Wait, that was another time. Mm-hmm. That's before the big recession because they were selling all that like cell art.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool to look at.
Which was cool, but I always used to sort of say, you know, this is not original cell art. It's good. It's nice. It's beautiful. But this isn't... Hardly any original cell art exists.
They're not going to sell any of that, John. Are you kidding? By the way, screw Chinatown. This is the greatest music Jerry Goldsmith ever composed.
Yeah, and I don't know. Then they did the creepy laughs, the little high-pitched laugh.
So it bothered you.
Yeah, I give it a 5.
That's a movie that's working.
wouldn't you say that's more effective? You should rate it higher?
I love that. Nope.
And then when I watched it, and they didn't care about the professor dying.
They did care.
During that point, and then they did not bring that on the rest.
Well, because by that time the town is being taken over. You don't have
I'm missing something here. Did you guys have a conversation about this earlier?
No.
The professor. Nobody cares that the professor was killed.
Is that a thing? He gets killed, and I think they mention it like immediately after they find him, but they don't bring it up after. They don't.
I mean, because the kid, I forget his
but
name.
But I don't get like. Then he goes to the cops. Why not say the professor is dead? He just goes, no, you
Well,
have
I think
to
it's true.
Me.
Like, they're kind of running rampant. It's kind of like, well, we just need to stop him.
Yeah.
But he's the only one that finds the professor, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He seems a little freaked out. But, I mean, by that time, they are kind of like taking over the whole city.
It's like, it's snowballing now.
It's creepy.
Huh.
Then when he fell into the water, I was like, oh, no. Mm-mm.
I know. The whole audience goes, oh, no.
How about when he cannonballs it in there? Those little puppets are really cool.
They're well done.
They're really well articulated.
And you know, it's so funny. Think about it. The whole time I'm watching it the other day, I'm going, these days, that would be all CGI.
Yeah.
Every last shot would be CGI.
Even the scene where they're taking over the town, they're all little stop motion. Even that's great.
Yeah.
Because that looks creepier than CGI. And I remember reading about how much, there's like a, one of the DVDs has like a behind the scenes documentary. They said, it's a lot of work to do that, to do those puppets.
Yeah.
And to move the eyes and get it articulated just right so you don't see how they're doing it. And they said it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work because some of them are animatronics. Some of them are like remote control.
Mm-hmm.
They're like making them move from off stage. Some of them were just puppets, hand puppets.
I love it.
And they just said, boy, a lot of work. It's worth it at the end. But they said, boy, to get that on screen.
Then you have the Gremlins, the puppets using puppets.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's just puppetception.
I never thought of it that way.
I just
God.
Love how he's like, wah, wah, wah. Like, it's just a stupid voice. So
and then,
cute.
You know, shoot him.
Oh, yeah, everyone remembers that scene.
It's the best. Because it just comes out of nowhere. It's out of left field.
It's great because they all start having personalities, you know?
So why is it that... What's his name? Stripe.
Uh-huh.
He sees a full-sized gun. When he grabs it, it becomes a tiny little gun that he can hold perfectly.
Well, because
it's movie magic.
There's no way to make that work.
It's called movie magic.
I didn't really notice that, but I guess that's the only way you could actually physically do that.
Yeah.
That's so
You're
great.
Not worried about anything else?
Slightly.
You're great for that. Mario's always great for that. You noticed an inconsistency with the license plate, but you have no problem with an outer space alien coming
out. No, that's fine. I was like, no, this gun.
You have no problem about, you know, pods.
Full-size gun, tiny
a
gun.
A creature no one's ever seen, and the dad's just like, gotta have it. Doesn't ask, like, where did it come from?
That's true. I thought about that. It's like, really? You don't know what this thing is? You're taking it home?
Yeah.
Gives it to your son? You don't know what the hell it is?
And it's a creature that comes with three specific rules. That's even worse, to be like, wait, there's actually things I have to do this right? No, I'm not going to.
Just feed it, give it water.
Yeah, and this kid does every single thing that you're not supposed to do.
Well, sort of inadvertently.
Yeah, I mean,
the friend knocks over the water.
That's not his fault.
And then the clock has been stopped. So
yeah.
Not his fault.
They
kind
of go out of their way to show you it's not really his fault.
Yeah.
The person who's messed up
is the professor who's like, I'm going to stick you with my needle.
Yeah, but he was never told anything.
Right. He has no idea.
He just thinks it's some
I feel like you give
animal.
That kid like some rules, he'll break all of them. That's just how I feel about that kid.
It's Corey Feldman's fault.
Corey Feldman.
I liked his little tree outfit.
Oh, yeah. Little Corey Feldman's in this one, yeah. A very young Corey Feldman.
Is this before Stand By Me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's in some iconic movies.
He's in this. He's in Goonies. He's in
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. He had quite a career.
Goonies for the win.
Oh.
What?
Goonies never say die.
Yeah.
Lost Boys.
Goofy.
Oh.
Shut up, Jake.
So... but it is kind of funny how at first when they tell him the rules, when they tell Hoyt Axton the rules, he's all, yeah, whatever. You know, he's all, three very important things.
Exactly.
He's all, yeah, whatever.
He goes, yeah,
and then
okay,
he goes
yeah.
to tell his son,
and then
he's like,
serious.
You have to do these things very important.
Yeah, he did say, these are pretty important ones, and the number one is don't feed him after midnight. And everyone's just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Can I tell you guys something?
Because there's no movie if they take it seriously.
Yeah, of course, right?
That's the thing.
I just want you guys to listen to this real quick.
I'm worse than a gremlin. Feed me hip hop and I start trembling.
That's right. After 12, I'm worse than a gremlin. Feed me hip hop and I start trembling.
Who is that?
Eric B. and Rakim.
Oh, yeah.
Microphone Fiend.
That's way back, huh?
This is back.
What is that, like 80s?
Eric B. and Rakim. This would be 80. I want to say Microphone Fiend is 88.
Jesus.
87, 88? Let me find out.
It's about as far back as you can go, right?
No, you can go further back.
I mean, Sugar Hill Gang was what, 85?
No, that's 79.
Sugar Hill Gang?
Yeah.
Sugar Hill.
That's, okay, John. You need to watch The Evolution of Hip-Hop on now playing on Netflix. Check it out, 2 seasons.
Oh, how about Tours from the Tour Bus?
88. I got it. 88.
Oh, wow. How about that?
You know what that sample was from? That was Schoolboy Crush by Average White Band.
Oh, wow.
How about that, John?
Hmm.
AWB.
Pick up the pieces.
Now let's go with your, what do you give Gremlins, John? You give it like a...
This would be like a, I love this sort of movie, so it's like an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Give it a solid 7.5. It's fun, it's enjoyable.
Jake.
I give it a 6. It's not bad. Not as I liked it Gremlins. More as a kid.
Renee Gremlins.
Oddly enough, just, I liked it more as a kid. That's like a
9 or 8 for me. High five.
I like the way John Sandy looked at you, but when I said 5, he didn't give that to
well,
me.
Well, because you I'm always say
it.
5.
I'm used to like, Citizen Kane, what do you give it? Eh, 5.
Justine, we're all used to being disappointed.
Because then it's a surprise when she gives something really high. Like, oh my God, really?
I was thinking, hey, 5, it's a triumph. She gave it a 5.
Schindler's List, 2. Boring.
I love
all
Schindler's
these people
List.
Dying.
I'm going to give Gremlins a 7. 7.
Yeah, it's solid.
Solid 7.
It's a fun movie. It's
I love it.
Enjoyable.
You know, I don't watch it enough. I realize when I watch it, it's like, this movie kind of fell off for me when I got older.
Yeah.
Needs to stay off.
I got into more intense horror movies. But
it's more of a background movie, too. It's not like something that you need to pay attention to.
But it's fun.
I don't watch movies like that. I'm not trying to be snooty, but I can't do that. I can't have it in the background like it's music. If I'm watching, I'm watching. Or if I'm not, I'm not.
What's a background movie for you, Jen?
There isn't one. If I'm going to spend the time, I'm going to do it.
What if it's like a Hallmark Christmas movie?
I'm not going to be watching. I'm not going to even watch that in the background. No,
good for you,
I'm not saying that to be snobby.
No,
I'm
not taking it.
For me, it's not like music. I don't just have it like on in the background. I'm going to be engaging with it. If it's either on or it's off. And if it is some piece of junk from the Hallmark Christmas month, I'm just not going to watch it. I'm not going to have it on in the background.
Love it.
But I do understand what you're saying. There's some, like, I knew a girl that always had the Lord of the Rings on, always on in the background. Mm-hmm. She loved it so much. That was her background.
Yeah.
And if she was doing homework, she always wanted it on. It made her feel good. So, you know, 9 hours of Lord of the Rings, it was always on. And that I get. That I get. And I guess I would be more prone to do that. A movie I'd seen like a million times.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's, you've seen this
you know
a bunch
every
of times.
Scene.
Then you know what? I agree. Because
it's something that you do. It's not like a movie that has a lot of strong story that you can be like, I'm enwrapped and I have to
I get
watch
you.
This.
It's I get you. I've done that before with North by Northwest. I've seen it so many times.
What?
I could be like eating, you know.
For you because I haven't seen it that many times.
Yeah, you didn't even see it once.
You saw part of it and then you got told the important part.
And I saw the last part of it. I just that one scene is the only.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but the crop duster scene with the plane. If I recall correctly, it was described to you in a moving car.
Yes, it was. And that scene is like a 10-minute build up.
I hate to belabor it, but the scene of the whole movie you still haven't seen.
Oh boy.
But I get it. Yeah, if it was like Bride of Frankenstein, I could be,
Or even Young Frankenstein.
A thousand times.
You've seen it a thousand times.
I could be making dinner and just listening
exactly.
to it in the next one.
And you're laughing,
so
you're
I get,
enjoying it.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm the same way. Like, if there's a movie on, I can't not watch
I guess
it.
When I, yeah, if I'm seeing it for the first time, I can't be, like, in the other room. I gotta be really
he hates this right now.
What guys. Is this?
This is the soundtrack to Lethal Weapon.
Guys.
Oh, we only have a half hour, huh?
I'm rocking, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Let's go. Let's jump ahead.
Eric Clapton.
Let's jump ahead to the mid-80s.
Eric Clapton.
You know you're on the beach in that RV right now.
We got Eric Clapton. God, that's David Sanborn. Can you get any more 80s?
Sun's out, buns out.
You know we jumped forward when I see a ton of boobs now.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you were going to mention that.
Yeah,
that
like,
opening scene, I thought
God,
Justine's going to go,
boobs,
what is this?
Boobs. I was like,
70s
wow.
and 80s, man.
That was the 80s,
the
yeah.
decade of boobs.
Yeah.
Great. It's
opening shot. It's kind of like, hey, everybody.
Boobs. Hi, everybody. I'm Richard Donner. I'll be your director. Here are some boobs.
Seriously.
What's and not to like? This,
but I kind of knew Justine was going to pick up on that. How come in the first like 30 seconds you've got this blonde that's like completely spread eagle on the bed? Like, hey.
This isn't the 70s, early 70s.
Yeah, there is
it
an era.
It pops up in the 70s.
We jumped ahead.
No, but you know what? There is an era, and I would say it's roughly
80s to early 90s.
Mid-70s to mid-90s, where you're getting a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
the ratings board is more concerned with violence, I think. That's what it is. You know?
They're like, boobs.
You see a lot of them.
We all got them. It's fine.
Yeah, so this is Lethal Weapon, guys. It is released in 1987. It is the wonderful brainchild of... actually written by Shane Black, who we'll run into again later on.
He becomes a director. Does Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and does
the Nice Guys.
Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm. Iron Man 3.
Ah.
Was it 3? It was 3.
I think you're right.
And then, so but we have Richard Donner. We have written by Shane Black. It stars Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, Gary Busey. Good old Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Such a villain.
He's always a good psycho. And this is before he...
He lost it.
Well, this is before he went. He had that motorcycle accident where he completely goes nuts.
Mm-hmm. And you got the great Darlene Love as Trish Murtaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Murtaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about... let's talk about this movie. Who had seen it before? Who had not seen it before? Who you had? Oh, so Jake and
really both of you
never seen it.
Jake, your childhood was horrible.
Jake, let's talk about
it. Filled with dinosaurs.
Let's talk about
Jurassic Park.
Let's talk about this mullet.
I just want to say, I saw this when I was 10.
Good for you.
This was life changing.
Parenting.
And you're like, hey, that's an opening shot.
Hey, whoa.
Yeah.
My mom would probably swear that I've seen this movie. But,
you had never seen it.
Because she's made me watch a lot of 80s movies.
Justine, let's start with Justine. Give us your initial reaction to the weapon. This movie
mm-hmm. is trying to show you any action that they can do. Because it's so annoyingly just, let's have this car flip over. Let's blow up this. Let's go shoot this. Like, it was so annoying to watch because it was just... Action, and let's see what we can make. And they just do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this necessary?
That's the point.
It's so beyond, like, they just went so out of their way to make it look, well, I don't know. And it was okay. It was a boy movie.
Come on, you get the great scene of Mel Gibson buying Coke in a tree lot.
That's a pretty cool scene.
It's wonderful.
Because no, man, it's $100,000.
$200. All right, here you go. $200,000.
It just felt like every fight scene was like they were trying to do Transformers. Like,
no, Transformers is trying to do this.
Yeah, this was a real...
Yeah, it's annoying.
This kind of set the tone for what the 80s was going to be action
on. Let's have explosions and cars flip over.
And then, come on,
that blow up.
The fight scene when the fire hydrant's going off.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So unnecessary.
So necessary.
So necessary.
You heard Maritan, kill him! Break his neck!
I love when he's like, let me get him, please! And he's like, no!
I love the whole thing. Where he's like, you want to jump? I want to jump. Let's do it. I'll do it.
I will tell
you. Hey, man, you're crazy. He freaks out the crazy guy.
I will tell you this. This movie, this franchise, Lethal Weapon, the original is my least favorite.
Really?
They get better from here for
me. Yes, they do.
They get much better.
Really good.
By the time you get Joe Pesci.
By the time
you
get, yeah, they're
Rene
great.
Russo,
they turn into this really great, almost comedy. This is a little heavy. Than the other,
because he's got a gun in his mouth.
Real heavy.
That's a hell of a scene.
But, I've got a hollow point with my name on it, so that when I blow out my brains out, it leaves a giant hole in the back. It's horrible.
But again, Christmas.
This is a Christmas movie.
I do have to say, when he was in the bathtub and all of them wished him happy birthday, I was like, wait, he's in the bathtub.
There are no bubbles.
I know, but
you can see everything.
But show the bubbles before you have this like whole family go in there.
No bubbles.
I was very curious about that.
No,
I was
bubbles.
Like, what just happened? I don't bust in when my dad's in the bathtub and like, happy birthday. It's just weird.
Full Monty. He's got the full Monty going on.
In the bathroom watching YouTube.
YouTube.
He's watching
YouTube. Drinking a smoothie.
Having a
yeah,
soak.
Yeah, I leave him alone there with his YouTube.
He's having a soak.
That is true. In real life, you wouldn't do that.
No.
They're trying to show that this is a close family.
The kicks down the door. Happy birthday.
I'd be like, shut the door. Come back.
Why couldn't he just be in the bed and they wake him up and say happy birthday?
Surprise, motherfucker. Oh, shit, your dick's out. No!
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. It could have been in bed,
That was so awkward for me to watch.
Mm. That would make a great parody scene.
And then they back out a little. I'm like, oh, there's bubbles. I see bubbles. Okay.
Right. I didn't see bubbles.
I saw a little bit. No. It's just
What man has a bubble bath anyway?
Hey, it was his birthday. He's 50.
Mm. It's celebrating.
He's soaking those bones. He's soaking.
I did really.
Getting
I liked
too
him
old
as a character.
For this shit.
He's the coolest character.
That's the thing about the characters are what make the movie.
Yes,
it's Riggs and Murtaugh.
For me, it's the only thing that held up because I did not enjoy this. I just watched it last night.
Great dynamic.
I hadn't seen it like in 30 years. I think when I saw it on the big screen, I probably enjoyed the hell out of it. But it doesn't. To me, it didn't hold up.
Yeah. Take away all the action scenes, and we're good.
It is a great action. I mean, it's the action. Yeah, the action doesn't make any sense. It's just
it's a typical '80s action.
Like,
movie.
Let's watch things blow up real good. You know,
if Die Hard hadn't come along, this would probably be like this is the blueprint for all the 80s.
But the chemistry between Mel Gibson and Danny Glover is great. And that's what you, that's the best stuff is the two of them going back and forth.
Yeah.
And you do feel for the Mel Gibson character. You know?
I also love that Mel Gibson's Australian accent slips through every once in a while.
It always did.
Hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
It always did, yeah. I love the fact that he's a Three Stooges
fan. Yeah.
He's all, I love that when he picks up the hooker and he's all, you want to just come watch the Three Stooges with me? There's a festival in 20 minutes. So that's all you want to do? Yeah. It's $100. Just watch it with me. That's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. She's all, that's all you want to do?
That's it. I like the whole day. Yeah, I do like them together. I like them together.
And then he starts getting to like his family.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a family anymore. So
yeah, he does.
He gets to, you know.
No, she, his daughter. Mm-hmm. His daughter does like.
Oh, I know. That's funny. She's all making goo-goo eyes at him.
I like to do, but they handle it well because the mom says something like, this isn't the first time we've had company, you know. Like, you know. It's really good. I mean, yeah, that family feels real to me.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Like the Murtaugh family.
It's the only thing in the movie that does feel real because everything else is kind of true. I got to agree with Justine. Everything is just like, okay, set piece number three. We're going to blow up this building and okay, then we're going to drive that car through this.
I always.
But it's like, in a way, it's like James Bond. It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
It's action done to the nth degree, you know.
I love the scene where his buddy gets sniped from the helicopter because the look on his face, he just kind of makes a face with a carton of orange juice in his hand. And it's the kind of face that John makes when Justine gives a movie like a three. It's just like a whoa. Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously, and with the helicopter, this was such a boy movie.
What, with the helicopter?
It is. It is.
What? So dramatic with the helicopter.
Which is probably
really
why
necessary. He could have been in a tree and then shot that.
This is why I enjoyed it more when I was a boy.
You know. Mel Gibson in that 17. Scene is great, too, because he pulls out his little 9mm. He's like, I got this.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I mean, you got to love that character. I love the thing where the guy wants to jump.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
Okay,
yeah,
jump now. It's kill. You know, it's
you
murder.
Truly believe he is insane.
And he freaks out the crazy guy. I want to jump. You want to jump? I want to jump. Let's go.
It's a takeoff on the Dirty Harry thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
They
And then when they hit the thing, he goes, get me out of here. This guy's crazy.
He's trying to kill me.
I do love how mad Murtaugh is.
Oh, yeah.
And he takes him in the carpet store. And she's like,
he's like, what? I got him down. He's fine. He didn't die. He's...
That's what's great about the movie is the is
their
relationship.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes this whole movie.
Oh, my God. You aren't trying to get... You
it's
know,
a great buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
How about the giant cell phone Danny Glover has?
Oh, my God.
With the briefcase attached.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Huge.
It's got its own power source.
Not dated at all.
No.
Not
well, it's the haircuts that date this movie.
Mel Gibson hockey hair.
Oh, boy.
The flowing locks.
That's that's technically a...
You know he blows that out every morning.
Oh, yeah. That's like a Brazilian blowout right there.
Every day, just... Mm-hmm.
That's technically a mullet, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a mullet.
Oh, yeah. That's a mullet.
It's a
business
mullet.
In front, party in the back.
That's right. That's right. I was trying to think what that was. The
Patrick had a mullet.
What?
Oh, God.
I never had a mullet.
What?
Yeah, you did.
When did you have a mullet?
When you were little.
That's not a mullet.
What was it?
I won't describe what that
is
on the...
Tail.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a what?
Oh, you had a rat tail?
That's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
When I was like three, my mom... My brother and I both have rat tails.
You can never trust a man who has a rat tail.
Thank you for that, Justine.
You little hillbilly.
Can never trust a man with a rat tail.
Thank you. I'm very happy that's
a man with a rat tail. A kid, it's like, you're a kid.
It's like it's not in your control.
It's true.
Nope, it wasn't.
Just tell people you were a Padawan.
No, this was before that movie.
I know.
Before.
Even in that movie, you're like, gee, I don't... You're like, I don't get it.
I guess.
So this is Earth. This is not a galaxy far away.
Thanks for letting me relive that.
So what did you think, Jake? You've never seen this?
It's fun. It's just a good buddy cop action movie. That's just what it is. It's not the best story, but the characters are great. And
it's a character piece. It's not the story. Who gives this shit? Yeah, they're selling. You got an ex-military guy selling coke.
Yeah,
I do like when the house blows up and the little kids are going, "Do it again."
This is the template for all buddy.
Yeah,
cop.
Dixie's gonna get busted. Dixie's gonna get busted.
Can you think of another buddy cop movie before this? Like 48 Hours.
I like the Sundance Kid.
48 hours.
They weren't cops, Justine.
But still.
They were not cops.
The Sundance Kid, they're a relationship.
What you think of when you think of the buddy cop movie. This is 48 Hours is pretty much it. Yeah.
No. Cops. Or Bad Boys, sorry. I think of Bad Boys.
But this is before that.
Yes. We're talking chronologically.
This is the template.
Like what sort of set that
Bad
off
Bad Boys
as a
is
thing.
Around yeah. because of this movie.
That's their version of this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the same thing. You got like an older guy.
Check
it's kind of like, I'm too old for... Because I think Nick Nolte said that all through 48 Hours. I'm too old for this shit, you know?
Good old Murtaugh.
Danny Glover was saying it through the whole thing. I'm too old for this.
Good news, guys. There was a sale on this movie, so I got all four.
I do, too.
So we
yes!
are
gonna...
Is that true?
Yes. I'm so excited.
Because I picked up my copy.
Mario, sometimes I just want to break your TV or something.
Yeah, but I'm sure
I
you like...
I want to delete all of his James Bond movies.
I'm sure you like this more than
because I went
Bond,
to Amoeba,
right?
And that's the only way I could find it. Yeah. It was as a four-pack.
Yeah, yeah, that four-pack. Yep.
The difference between this and James Bond is there's just more boobs.
Bond has got more boobs.
Or James Bond's got a lot of boobs.
He's got three anyway. In the next movie, he's got three.
See?
Right? I love that you're the one that gets on board with this.
All right. So what does everybody...
Superfluous nipple.
So what does everybody give Lethal Weapon? John? You didn't like it as much.
You know, if you asked me back in like 87, I probably would have given it a 10. It was a lot of fun. It's a popcorn movie. But watching it last night, I'm thinking, oh, this is not holding up at all. So I'd give it like a... Give it like a 5.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
That's low for John.
That is low.
That's Justine level.
I'll give it 7.
All right.
It's decent.
Patrick?
9!
Wow, you're going all the way up to 9.
Yeah, this is amazing.
I give it a 5.
I'm gonna give it a 6. And the only reason is I'm gonna do the reverse of Patrick, like you did with The Godfather.
69.
I need to give. There's a couple I'm going to rate higher.
Give some breathing room.
I wonder if this is the first time Justine and I have given a movie the same rating.
I think so.
It is.
Just the action is just so horrible.
I like Lethal Weapon. It's not one of my favorite. I like Die Hard a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the least favorite of my Lethal Weapon movies. I like...
Sometimes the passage of time is what does it. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what proves a good movie, is one where they're... You watch Pulp Fiction, it still holds up now. You know, that's like, 94 or something?
I think Lethal Weapon 3 is probably my favorite one.
That's a good one.
But a movie that still holds up as time passes, 10, 20, 30 years, that's when you know. Somebody said that. They said, we won't know if this is a great film for another 30, 40 years. Yeah. Because ask me again when a few decades have passed. It's good now, but let's see what happens, you know.
I have emotional attachments to this movie. So.
I don't hate it.
No, it's fun.
Yeah, I don't hate it either.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. The action's great. Even though it's ridiculous, it's a lot of fun.
And it stayed with a Christmas theme.
Yes, really, and it was Christmas.
And those were state-of-the-art stunts. When those those stunts, it was like, holy cow.
What do you mean? You feel like it's like a paint-by-numbers, like they're just trying to get them to like different...
No, I feel like someone there is like, oh, and I can make that explode. Yeah, can I do that too? Oh, the water should be running. Yes, it should be shooting all the way up in the sky.
So this was written
everybody.
By stuntmen.
Yeah.
Shane Black was in a room of stuntmen.
I know a guy that can go do this too. Yeah, we'll do that also.
Like Hooper. Who's the guy that directed Hooper? Who's the Burt Reynolds guy?
I just feel like some guy was like, we need a helicopter.
Hal Needham?
That's it. If Hal Needham wrote a movie, it would be like this. It's like, oh, I know. I got a guy who can jump off of this. I got a guy that can go underwater.
That's what it looked like. Let's just get everything
but
that we know
about
put
Hooper
it into
was,
one.
It was about a stuntman, so it was perfect. They're like
because of that, it made me realize I'm watching a movie, you know?
That's the point about this movie. You have to accept it for the ridiculousness that it is. You're not watching it for story. You're not watching it for anything else except for the action and the cool characters.
Yeah, this movie, this is not My Dinner with Andre. This is a popcorn movie.
Exactly.
But I bet you, when I saw this, it was a solid 10.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Justine has really made me think about this movie in a way I never thought. You're right. It does seem like, hey, we can do this.
It is exactly. The whole time I watched it, I was like, oh, cool.
You know
why?
Because they've got the budget to do it.
Yeah.
Richard Donner had all that Superman money. And Warner Brothers was riding high, and it was like, we've got the money to do whatever you want.
Listen
to
this.
And they did everything on the list of things to do for an action movie.
Let's see. Boobs, check. Yeah. Explosions, check.
Burning buildings.
Yep.
What else can you do? We'll add it in there. We'll find a way to put
Flip
it
Flip a car with a tank. Yep, got it.
Here's why. Listen to this, though. It grossed over $120 million.
Wow. Like,
how much do you think it cost to make?
Ooh, for 1987?
For 87.
2
million.
Million. No, more than that.
I'll say like 20 million.
Patrick?
5 million.
Jake says 5. Patrick says?
I'll bump it up to 10.
Justine?
I don't know movie numbers.
Let's make a guess.
I don't know math.
1.
15 million.
15.
It lost money?
No, for 15 million. It was made for 15 million.
Made 125.
Made 120 million. I should say 12.
Yeah. So this is why they say keep giving them. They make three more. They're like, keep them coming.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, for sequels, I think Richard Donner's behind every one of them.
Yeah.
They said, okay, it's like printing money. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. It's
that,
like,
that was a, this was a huge franchise.
People had fun with it.
And when you look at Mel Gibson's filmography, up until this, it was mostly Mad Max movies.
Yeah.
Well, also The Year of Living Dangerously. So people knew he could do some heavy-duty acting. But this is really, this was like the biggest smash after Road Warrior. I think this is like a year after Road Warrior, maybe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get into it. Are you ready, John?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for everybody's favorite Christmas movie.
Yep.
All right. Are you ready, guys?
For Mr. Magoo's Christmas
Carol.
Hold
on. Let me take my shoes off.
It's You're a mean one.
Make them like a fist. Make your feet like fists.
Curl them like fists.
Make fists with your toes.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Oh. The next time you have a chance to kill someone, don't hesitate.
Now I have a machine gun.
Thanks for the advice.
Ho, ho.
Thanks for the advice.
Now this is a guy's movie and I love it.
Just my luck, I find the one guy that's got smaller feet than my sister.
Yeah, I got a terrorist with smaller feet than my sister.
I've told you guys about the one scene in this movie to me that doesn't make sense, but we'll talk about it. Let's go. It's Die Hard 1988. Bruce Willis. Willis.
I still love
Bonnie Bedelia.
Alan Rickman.
Right.
Holly McClain.
Yeah.
Gennaro.
Holly McClain.
Where's Holly Gennaro? Where's Holly? You know what I'm saying?
She's great. She's great.
Everybody's good in this. Yeah. Everybody is good.
Not a bad egg in the bunch.
Even terrorist number
four.
Some
bad eggs.
Yes.
Everybody's great. The terrorist that goes for a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even he's great.
He was from, we'll see him again in Big Trouble in Little China. But yeah, even the guy who says, yeah, I see him. Even that guy's awesome. Love this movie.
Yeah, me too.
They're shooting at the lights.
And this one holds up, right? 30 years later?
Oh, yeah.
That's a 30-year-old movie. It does not feel like it's dated. It feels like it holds up.
It holds up. Yeah. I watch it all the time.
So there you go.
I never get sick of watching it.
Nope. Okay. And it's just as heavy on the action set pieces, but somehow it holds together.
So let's just say this at the start of this. For all those naysayers and haters out there.
Are there any?
Yes.
For Die Hard?
This movie is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's on Christmas.
It is.
It plays more Christmas music than It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can split
including
hairs. You can split hairs on that.
By the way, quick story. Went to see this. Another movie I saw with my cousin, Pete. We were at the movies all the time in the summers together. Went to see this. This came out in July of 88. Argyle starts playing. He's saying, "Can't we listen to Christmas music?"
Yep, this is Christmas music.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Christmas and Hollis.
I'm gonna play. Yeah,
yeah.
By Run DMC. That was the first time, aside from.
I look at Mario's face. He's in ecstasy.
This is the first time, aside from going to see like Breakin' 2 or Beat Street.
Or Electric Boogaloo.
This is the first time I ever remember hearing hip hop in a mainstream movie. It was like, it blew my mind. I was like, already this movie's gonna, I love this movie already. My cousin had seen, I will tell you this about this movie. I saw this movie, somehow I missed all the hype for it. I did not know what it was. And my cousin was like, we gotta go see this movie, Die Hard. When you hear Die Hard, it could be anything. It could be a movie about you're a race car driver. You could be, you don't know what it's going to be
the
about.
The title makes no sense
the title
for the
makes
movies.
No
That's
sense.
Great.
It could be a sports fan.
Yeah, it could be a sports movie. It could be anything. Yeah. I had no idea going into it. Yeah. I knew Bruce Willis from Moonlighting.
That's about all.
But it was like, that was it. And I was like, what's this movie going to be about? And my cousin's like, oh, it's like an action movie. And I said, okay, let's go see it. As soon as I heard this,
Yeah.
I was like, I like this movie already, no matter what. Yeah. And then,
what were you doing on the roof, hon?
Boom! That movie unfolds. I mean, it was like a roller coaster ride.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is.
We sat at the old La Mirada 6 Theater, the old Pacific 6.
Yeah.
On the big screen. That was a big screen in there. It was a 70 millimeter screen back in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
With your 6-track Dolby. Good times.
Yeah.
Great times. Mm-hmm. And this movie was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
This is one, because this was like a word of mouth. Everybody was like, you got to see this thing. And then see it again. You know, this does bear repeated viewings, you know. Good action film. One of the best, you know. Still.
Had everyone seen this before?
Nope.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said when he said that. Justine said he was trying to pull my leg with this bullshit.
That was true?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Get out of here.
100%. Never seen it.
Can I rate Jake?
I want to, so we should go first with Jake. If he hasn't seen it, we need to know what he thought of it.
Real quick, real quick.
Come on, Jake.
What?
Watch, no, him, wait, drop, he's a, gonna do, watch him drop a fucking four on this shit, and we all gonna murder
you,
him.
One and okay. All, and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A.
Yes! Yes!
But a team of terrorists.
You want money?
In a world.
What kind of terrorists?
That's
are
the
you?
Guy.
Who said we were terrorists?
Have their own holiday plans.
And I'm telling you, you're just gonna have to kill me.
Okay.
We're in a trailer?
But the one thing they didn't plan on was New York cop John McClane.
Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Okay, mother.
And you'll have it.
Killed one hostage. This trailer needs to stop. It's saying too much.
If I had seen this trailer as a kid, I would have lost my shit.
But yeah, they are giving away too much, aren't they?
Yeah. You forget.
A lot.
They gave away way too much. Yeah.
Here's the whole movie.
Pretty much.
Good job.
They're using artillery on us.
You idiot.
It's
the police.
He's an easy guy to like.
Welcome to the party, pal.
And a hard man to kill. Bruce Willis. Die Hard.
Yes! I'm so pumped up right
now. I know!
I want to go watch that again.
That voice. In a world.
In a world.
John McClane, detective. He was not invited to the party.
Good old Theo. God dang.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
God. Gosh darn.
Okay.
Just the darnest. All right,
so
thing
you had
it.
Never seen it?
Never seen it. Obviously heard about it. Never.
Have you seen any of the new ones?
Or, yeah, no. The sequels?
No.
Never seen
it. Did it live up to the hype?
Yeah, I think so. It was really fun. Very just action-packed. Bruce Willis is a great character. It is a Christmas movie.
Thank you.
There are Christmas. There are Christmas trees in the lobby, 30th floor. There are Christmas trees everywhere. Christmas songs.
It takes place on Christmas.
There, just like Lethal Weapon.
Christmas movie.
Lethal Weapon, I noticed they said Merry Christmas like 20 times.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Yeah, Jake. It's great. I love Alan Rickman. He's such a great... He's a great everything. He's so great in whatever role he is. And...
God.
Just, you know, there's all sorts of twists, turns, little, you know, surprises everywhere.
And Bruce Willis is great, too. Just every, you know, believable and a like John and I talked about, not invincible.
No.
Not an invincible
guy.
That's
the fun of it.
You fear that he's going to die the whole time. You're just like, how is he going to get out of this?
Yep.
And somehow.
And brilliant that the first thing he loses is his shoes. You know, he's running across glass.
God, when he runs across the glass, he's like staring at him like, oh, Jesus Christ, he's going to have to book it.
What were you going to say, Justine?
Go ahead.
Alan Rickman is just a great villain.
He's
the
just
fact
great.
That he thought, oh, we should just shoot all of the glass. Yeah. Just to, oh, my
well,
God.
Well, it shows you that he sized him up right away.
He did.
When he tries to outsmart him with the building directory, he goes, hey, what's your name, pal? And he's like, Bill Clay. And it's like he had already, he was one step. He was even.
No, he did not. He like thought of that for the moment.
He was so good at that.
And doing the accent.
Yeah. No, don't kill me, please.
He's all... Pretty tricky there with the accent, Hans.
Yeah. What were you doing on the roof, Hans? Do it.
So good. What were you doing on the roof, Hans?
There it is. Ah, love this movie.
Great.
Oh, boy.
This is how I remember Alan Rickman.
Yes. Sure.
This movie.
This is the part. I mean, all the movies he did afterward, you still think of him as Hans Gruber.
Yes. When he was Snape. It's Hans Gruber!
Yes, Hans Gruber. I told you I was offended because Nicole had never seen... She loves Die Hard with a Vengeance, the third one.
Oh, yeah.
No, she's never seen the first one.
She had never seen the first one, and she still hasn't finished it. But we started watching it, and she saw Alan Rickman, and she goes, oh, is that the brother? And I was like, no, that is not the brother.
The Jeremy other Irons brother. Is the brother.
What a weird reaction to have.
Alexander, no, no, no. Enough. You're more than welcome to have that reaction. That is justified. No.
So wait, yep. She's seen like half of it now?
She only saw the first like 10
minutes. Is she
minutes.
Digging it?
Oh my God. She's only seen so the first 10 minutes. After it.
Oh, the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she likes the third one. Have she ever seen the second one?
Nope.
At the airport.
Only just likes the third one?
My wife loves the buddy. She likes the formula where you have two friends, two people in a situation, and one of them is... more skilled than the other. One is slightly inept, or she likes that.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Dynamic.
So, who is the buddy in the third one?
It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, that's the one where they have to do the.
That one's a lot of.
They
send him on a wild goose chase.
Yeah, that one's a one. Lot of fun because you've got all these different puzzles he's trying mm-hmm. to figure out. It's
I love
good.
The one with Kevin Smith too, which is like the fourth one, I guess.
Oh, I've never seen
A Good Day to Die Hard.
We're gonna watch them all.
I think I missed the last one. Is there a fifth one?
There is, but I heard
I think
it wasn't
I probably missed that.
We're gonna watch them all.
Yeah.
We're going to watch all of them. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it, Jake.
Approved. That is actually, I haven't seen the last one that he did with his daughter and the son. Mm-hmm. I never saw that one.
Justine, mm-hmm. what do you think of Die Hard?
Live Free Die Hard.
Yeah.
Die Hard does it right where all the stunts and everything makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we're going to have an explosion up on the top because he's doing it on purpose. Like, there isn't something random happening outside. What? What is it? Say it, Patrick. Say it.
Nothing. I have no hate for
no,
this
No, if you
movie.
Need it to make okay. sense, yeah. I mean, they're terrorists. They have explosives. It all makes sense.
They have a plan. Yeah. This is
they
all part of the
They are not terrorists.
They're just petty
Who
thieves.
Who said we are terrorists?
Yeah, what's the other line? Oh, you're just a common thief.
The thing I like about this
I'm
movie...
I'm upgrading to kidnapping.
I'd watch myself. I'm upgrading
what
to
What were
kidnapping.
You going
to
say, Justine?
The thing I like about this movie is between those two. Alan Rickman and Bruce Willis.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They're just yeah. right up against each other.
Because they're both smart.
And yeah. Bruce Willis doesn't look like... He looks like someone who could be doing these things. It's not like a skinny guy that they got. Like, I don't like when I watch girls that are super skinny and then they're supposed to be really buff and lift like some Laura Croft when I was watching that one, Tomb Raider. I was like,
Laura Croft is very toned. Okay, she can handle it.
In the movie Tomb
yeah.
Raider?
Mm-hmm.
She's toned, but
oh yeah,
which Tomb
she can't
Raider?
Do all of
the
that.
New one.
What about Sergeant Powell?
We forgot to mention Die Hard gets a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, damn right it does.
Gets a 92,
93%, 8.2 on
and
IMDb.
And Bruce Willis looks like such a normal guy.
Yeah.
I love that about him.
Yeah, he could be a cop.
Family
but he
man.
Makes it so relatable for everyone to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He's not this pretty boy up on the screen.
Yeah.
Doing this badass stuff.
And he's feeling it. He's really feeling it. He's like, oh, boy.
He's kind of losing yeah. his hair. He's got his hairline's receding.
Yeah.
And
glass in his feet. And,
yeah. John McTiernan was a director. John McTiernan goes on to direct some really good stuff that we're going to... most of John McTiernan's stuff will turn up on the show, except for Last Action Hero. We're not watching that one.
What?
But we will be watching Predator and The Hunt for Red October.
Well, okay.
And Die Hard with a Vengeance. Yeah. I love this one. It holds up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can watch this anytime.
I watch this several times a year.
I can watch this anytime.
I prefer this over Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the better
movie. The story's
better. It's the better of the two.
I think it's the better. I would agree, too.
It didn't feel dated. And it didn't feel cheesy. It really, it was like put together like a Swiss watch. And for this kind of movie, that's what you need. You need it to all move and just moving forward and making sense.
And McTiernan has that gift because he does Hunt for Red October, which is another thing with a lot of moving parts.
And that's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
And that's
an
another
amazing
movie.
Movie.
You got to take, there's a lot to kind of keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the art of these movies. It's got to feel like it makes sense, but you got to keep it moving.
And he does that with Die Hard with a Vengeance.
And listen to their rock and roll. And
we will shit on their
beaches.
So if you get the right actors, this is one of those movies where they say casting is just so much of it.
Everybody, even Sergeant Al Powell.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Al
right.
Powell doesn't get enough love.
Well, he got a TV series out of it.
Yeah.
Family Matters?
He ends up on Family Matters, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I
why.
I love Carl Winslow.
that's how he got the show, you know.
That's it. Carl Winslow is the guy that stopped the terrorist attack.
That's all I saw. I was like, Carl Winslow. Like, he just went to work.
Yeah, he was at work. Yeah. The kids are at home school. Yeah.
I love
this
the whole thing with the Twinkies. What are they putting these things? Well, I'll tell you.
Yellow dye number 5. Everything grown American boy needs.
And then immediately says, so how long have you been a family man? You know?
Yeah. The one thing that never makes sense to me is when he's in the AMPM
mm-hmm.
and he does a thing. And he's putting the things in the bag. He's like, they're for my wife. And the clerk does the Jake thing where she goes, uh-huh. And then
he gets defensive.
Yeah. He's like, bag it. And the guy says, big time. That doesn't make sense. What does that mean?
It must be slang.
Bag it. Big time. What? That's bad. That's the only
big time.
That's the only thing that's keeping me from giving this movie a 10 is that scene.
That really? One line.
Really?
That one, not even that one scene.
You
that
can't
one
be
line.
Serious.
Big time.
Let's just do the ratings. We don't need to talk about this anymore. Die Hard. Big time. Is a perfect movie. Go
it's
see it.
It's a perfect action film. That's it for is. Sure. Yeah.
Justine, what do you give it?
10.
Wow.
Patrick,
how about that?
She sounds like she's going to underrate something, and then
I give it like a 9. Yeah.
Jake,
solid 9.
Oh, I thought we were going to have our first.
I thought it was going to be 10s across the
board. Because I'm giving it a 10.
And I'm fucking disappointed in the two of you.
You got to be careful with 10s.
The reason, Ken, John, you said it yourself, it's the ultimate action movie.
It is. I can't. It's hard to think of one that's better.
It's the ultimate
John,
action movie.
John, nothing compares to you.
I'll tell you, if you ever get a chance to see the...
9 is a high rating for this movie.
I'll tell you, if you ever get a chance to see the John Woo knockoff of this called Hard Boiled with Chow Yun-Fat.
I've never seen it.
There is probably a 30-minute shootout at the end where it just takes place in a hospital.
And that was a big one, right?
And you could tell it was inspired by Die Hard. But
was that before Face Off?
Yeah. It was one of his last big ones. But if you ever get a chance, if you're a Die Hard fan.
Is he still doing movies?
He is. He's doing them back in Hong Kong again. 10 for me.
Yeah, solid 10.
This is probably the perfect action movie for me.
I can think of none better.
It's hard to think of a better action film, yeah.
The 80s gave us some great action movies, but this held up.
It held up 100%.
This is up there.
Because I just watched it last night, and I probably hadn't seen it in like a good 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It had been 6 months since I'd watched
it. I love that. You said you watch this 3 times a year.
I watch it multiple times a year, every year, because it is fantastic.
It is great to watch around Christmas, isn't it?
I watch it around Christmas. I watch it in the summertime. There's a old Facebook post that is a link that says shots fired at Nakatomi Plaza that it pops up on my Facebook page every single year for the day this happens.
Wow.
Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah.
By the way,
shots fired.
I want to give a real quick shout out to the guy who plays Mr. I almost said Miyagi. I'm so racist.
It's all the same.
Mr. Takagi?
Mr. Nakatomi.
James Shigeta is the actor's name. Let me see if he's around.
Mr. Miyagi.
He did pass away. There is a movie, a really, really great...
Mayor of Flavortown?
No.
There's
a really great film noir starring James Shigeta from 1959. It's called The Crimson Kimono. And if you ever get a chance, check it out. John, have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it.
You would love it because it's shot in L.A. It's this noir movie.
Sam Fuller?
It's directed by Sam Fuller. That's right. James Shigeta plays a detective, and it is fantastic.
The Crimson Kimono.
It's called The Crimson Kimono. It was shot in L.A., so check it out.
I will.
If you want to see Mr. Takagi.
I will.
Is The Longest Day considered an action movie?
It's a war film.
It's a war film.
Oh, okay.
But most war films are action films. Yeah.
But I would put war in its separate category.
Sure.
Is that your perfect war movie?
I freaking love that movie.
Okay.
I love that movie so much.
Which longest one? Day, more like longest movie.
Give it.
Did you guys do that like one time when I wasn't here?
The Longest Day?
I've never seen that.
You must have been a week you were gone.
Well, you can add it again, right?
Well, you do love it, don't you? How do you like that?
We went to see it in theaters. That movie is ridiculously long.
You went to see it in a theater?
No,
yes.
We went to see Great Escape.
Oh, I thought we saw Longest Day.
Love The Great Escape. Is that an action movie?
I would have for sure fallen asleep in
there.
She bought the...
Guys, I don't know if I can make this my top.
She bought the steel box for that movie.
A steel box?
It's like the fancy DVD case.
Fancy collector's edition.
For The Longest Day?
Yeah, she loved that movie. That's a movie she gave a 10.
I've never seen it.
It's great.
I've never seen it.
Is that 10?
I mean, just as a terrible judge.
I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in one of our boxes.
What's in your steel box? It's in your steel vault. Is that D-Day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good.
Did you watch Bridge Too Far yet?
No, I haven't finished that one.
Okay.
She's not sold on it.
I already saw Sean Connery. I was like, I don't know. Yeah.
Is that a deal breaker? If Sean Connery's in a movie, is that a deal breaker for you?
No, I like
He does great. His
I like
Indiana Jones.
His stuff outside of Bond is fantastic. He does some great stuff outside of Bond.
I mean, he sits on the beaches and listens to their rock and roll.
Zardoz? Just kidding.
Yeah.
I saw that on Amazon the other day, and I was like, am I going to watch it?
I never watched it. Just the five-second trailer on KTLA bored me.
See,
I was like,
but his long hair reminds me of Escape from Alcatraz.
He was Aquaman before there.
Is that like a floating concrete head? The star of Zardoz
that spews out weapons?
It's John Borman. I guess I've never seen it, but yeah, you're right. The trailer looks just batshit. Yeah.
You know
crazy.
Why they call him Borman, right?
Well, Deliverance. Yeah. Excalibur.
Borman. Oh, that's true. 10. What's that one? No, what's the one he did with Bo Derek? The Tarzan of the Apes. Wasn't that him too?
That's John Derek. Directed Tarzan.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Okay. Listen, guys. We only have 15 minutes.
To do It's a Wonderful Life.
To talk about the greatest Christmas movie ever.
Jake, The Door.
Okay, who cries? Who cried when they saw this movie?
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Every time.
It regardless.
At the end, maybe?
I tear up at the end.
Are you
at
telling
the middle,
me the end?
Okay. At the beginning?
Just
at the all?
When he says, to my brother George, the richest man in town.
Okay,
you don't cry?
We're just going to establish this now. Justine is a heartless bitch and has no soul.
It's hard to move on from that.
She has no
on?
Emotion.
Don't talk to her that way.
I will do what I please.
Aren't we going to get letters?
Letters.
I love that. Letters.
Riots in the streets.
Letters? Who writes letters?
How do you not cry at this movie?
I don't see when you're supposed to cry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every time.
And I feel.
How about when he's praying on the bridge?
Please, God.
Please, God, I want to live again. Clarence, I want to live.
Clarence, I want to live.
Clarence, I want to live again.
Please let me live. Oh, God. I'm going to cry now.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
I'm doing a James Stewart impression, and I'm going to cry. Jeez.
Nope.
Well, I guess it just doesn't hit you there.
What? Yeah. It doesn't?
No, she doesn't cry at this movie.
Nothing gets you?
No, I told you, she's soulless and heartless. She does not show emotion. That's why she didn't... What movie gave her a headache? Because it made her feel something.
That's so good.
Oh, I left right in the middle of a show.
Yeah.
Shogun?
No, it was Coco.
It's what?
Coco.
To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Fuck you, Mario.
This whole part of life.
Teacher says every time a bell rings, angels get a wing.
Attaboy, Clarence. Attaboy.
Man, John, look at John.
Oh, I'm tearing up.
A little bit.
Oh, it's.
You did it, Clarence.
It's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
That too.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
There you go.
He's
attaboy,
so happy.
It kills me every time.
I know. I'm crying.
Because he had friends.
He
was loved.
He was wealthy.
Mr. Gower, don't you know me?
You know what? Watching this again, the part that put the zap on it, I never thought of it this way. I was watching it again, and a couple things came into my head. But the thing I thought, if I put myself in that situation... it's bad enough, you know, your kids are never born, your wife doesn't, but your mother.
I know.
Yeah.
Your mother.
Your own mother.
Your own mother. And the woman who plays his mom is, I forget her
Beulah
name.
Beulah Bondi.
She looks like a sweetheart, but when he's not born, she looks like an
it's
evil
It's a totally
bitch.
Different woman.
Because why would she? She doesn't know him. Yeah. It's
but,
a perfectly,
but she looks like just totally different.
She's haggard.
It's a perfect, well, everybody looks different. Everybody's having a pretty bad time without her. Yeah. When she says mother, you know, don't you know me, mother? Mother.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this movie is something that was completely accidental. It's when his uncle is stumbling off drunk and you hear the loud crash. That actually happened.
Yeah.
That was some guy on the set who screwed up and thought he was going to get fired, and they left it in, and it makes that scene.
Wow.
Yeah. So that big old crash that you hear,
wow,
100% not intentional.
That's great, because you just think Uncle Billy just took a dive into something. Wow.
Good old Uncle Billy.
Everybody's so great in this.
Oh.
Even, you know, Bert and Ernie.
Bert the cop.
Everybody, no matter how incidental, has got, you know, Mr. Gower. Every scene, every character is just
We see
perfect.
Mr. Gower again.
I won't tell nobody, Mr. Gower.
Oh, man, that was so...
Oh,
just to hit my bad ear again.
I cried on that part, too.
I know. That's really a heavy scene.
How many times are you supposed to cry during this
movie? The whole
Well, if you're
movie.
A human being.
Three.
If you're part of the human race.
I would say three.
At least.
The last part? What else?
The last part.
The
bridge. The part where he gets his ass beat because that guy's son died.
When he finds Zuzu's petals.
When he finds Zuzu's petals.
Oh, when he's on the bridge.
Oh, the bridge is killer.
Yeah, that's a good
The bridge.
And when Mary doesn't recognize him.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, man.
You're not going to like it, George. She's a librarian. Oh, no.
She's an old maid. She never got married, George.
Oh, God.
My only beef with this movie is, why is it that if George Bailey's never born, the town gets jazz? That's a bad thing.
Every time I see that scene, I think of you, Mark. Yeah, I think, now, wait a minute. So Bedford Falls gets jazz. Fats Waller, they get everything as long as he's never born. Well,
not all bad.
It's like, why does he have to not be born for them?
What year is this movie?
47.
That wasn't on our list.
No.
You picked it because it was a Christmas movie.
It was on our list, but I knew it was coming up.
I agree.
Christmas time.
And you know, this wasn't a hit when it came out. This was not a hit.
You know what?
Justine, don't finish that sentence.
But
don't you dare.
In the years that passed, they always have because what came out the same year, I think, was Best Years of Our Lives.
Yes.
And they said people just after going through that shitty World War II experience, whether you were there or you were at home, they were not... they just couldn't sit through something like this. This felt old-fashioned at the time. And Best Years of Our Lives seemed like it dealt with the after effects of the war in a more direct, head-on fashion. But as the years passed, people really took to this movie. At the time, it just didn't sit well, you know, and it was not a hit at all. And it wasn't released at Christmas either. People didn't think of it as a Christmas movie until...
Like Die Hard?
What happened with this movie is it didn't... somebody didn't pick up the copyright on it. So suddenly everybody could make a copy and run it on TV. I remember back in the 80s, you might have five stations playing it at the same time. Anybody who could strike a print of It's a Wonderful Life, there was no copyright protection. They let it lapse. Anybody could run it. And so next thing you know, it's just like everybody's seen it. And they said that's probably what did it. People that never would have seen it, it's running on every station every night around Christmas time. It's cheap content. Everyone watches it, and they fall in love with it. They go, my God, they don't make them like this anymore. It's the kind of movie, time passes, now you're ready for it. Now you want it, you know?
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight?
Won't you come out tonight?
Come out tonight.
See, people think...
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight?
It's
by the light of the moon.
What's that last wish you made? I'm not telling you. You want me to kiss her? Youth is wasted on the wrong people. I'll put a kiss on her that'll put hair on your head.
What were you going to say, John?
You want the moon, Mary?
Yeah.
I'll just lasso it for you.
Just lasso it.
And then you'll swallow
Bring
it.
Bring on down.
And
swallow.
Then the rays will...
And you'll shoot moonbeams out your fingers.
Shoot moonbeams through the tips of your hair and your fingertips.
She's also, I'm going to orgasm. Moonbeams will shoot out your hair and your fingertips and your toes. All right,
What that means.
I know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
In the 40s, that meant, No, it's a hell of a thing. And then, God, when she gets the house and fixes it up,
it's crazy.
That made me cry, too.
And then when he runs up the stairs...
She practically kept him there.
What?
If you're saying that wish came true... She kept him there.
No,
he wanted to leave.
That's
and
not
he
the point.
She misses the whole point of the movie.
I'm just saying the whole thing
it
happened
wasn't
after
Mary.
She
it
made
was
that
the,
wish.
It was the savings and loan was what kept him back.
If it was anything, it was
but
his brother.
But that happened after that wish happened.
He was literally...
Everything happened right after her wish.
You're putting it on her wish.
I am putting it on her wish, and she's a bitch.
You know what a wish is?
a wish is a dream your heart makes.
But, I mean, if you're going to have angels and stuff, then that wish probably came true.
I have never thought of this
after
movie in terms
made,
of her wish keeps
after
him.
After she made that wish,
what
an
a bitch wanting him
and
to
he
stay.
Stayed. He would never leave that town because of her.
If I lived to be 100, I never would have thought of this movie in that light.
Never
she
gonna
made that
still
wish.
Think of it that way.
That bitch.
It's
like a Twilight Zone episode now. Now it's like a total Twilight Zone episode.
She ruined his life with that wish to get married to him.
Well, at first I was like, oh, she wished that he stayed. And I was like, what a bitch. But then I realized that she wished for the house, but that's still keeping well, that
they,
in there.
Even if they wished that they'd get married, but it's the...
She kept him there.
Mary wanted to get married.
The whole
Mary
thing
loves
is that,
him and wanted to spend the rest of her life with him.
And that kept him in one place when he
no,
wanted to
he
travel.
No, he sees what...
And actually, I would argue that she already knows she's going to marry him as a child. When in the ice cream shop, she whispers into
I'm
his death
I'm going to love
ear,
you till the day I die.
I'm going to love you till the day I die, George Bailey.
And Violet says, George Bailey, I'm going to fuck you till the day you die. She says that to all the boys. Well, what's wrong with that?
That was right before she came in.
Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from?
I'm not talking about coconuts.
You think it's her fault?
I do think it's her fault.
He's not prepared to let the whole town fall into Mr. Potter's clutches. He can see what's going to happen to that town if Mr. Potter owns every...
Yeah, they get jazzed.
Yeah. I know.
Fucking jazz,
you have to really
man.
Weigh that. You may not own your own house, so but you get bad. Jazz. Yeah. No, you're right. It's like, so it's you had the church and the bells of St. Mary, but or you could have the guy that looks like Fats Waller playing jazz piano.
Jazz is nothing but ruffians.
But see,
and
you got
dogs.
A brothel and you got jazz. Eh, all right. Maybe it's all right that you don't get born, you know? No, but that whole scene where he gives that speech, you know, when he gives up his trip to Europe and mm-hmm. he's just about ready to go to college and he gives that impassioned speech, that's really a lump in your throat.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The city keeping him there. It's yes. so bad.
No, he feels something for... I mean, it sounds old-fashioned now. Who thinks like this? He feels something for the community. He knows mm-hmm. his friends and neighbors. He knows what's going to happen to him.
He doesn't want to let Potter get control. He doesn't want...
When he says, is it too much to... He says, the rabble, as you call them, they do most of the living and working and dying. Is it too much to ask that they get a decent roof over the head while they're doing it? And he's yawning. You know, Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
Even when Potter offers him all that money, he's like thinking about it, and he goes, you know what, Mr. Potter, no, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. I don't need any time.
I love when he shakes his hand.
The answer is no.
When he shakes his hand, yeah. and he's all, ah. Like,
yeah, he's just like, I just, evil, gross shit on my hand.
No, you're right. He's all, but never. You know, so my like, answer never. Is no. And he's all, darn it.
He realizes what's going to yeah. happen. He knows.
I know.
And it all happened when? After her freaking wish.
No, but it already started because... If you think about it, it's when he saves his brother.
The bank was already down in decline at that point, and that it just was
it starts with him saving his brother because then he goes deaf. He can't. Any chance he would have gotten to get out of town would have been during the war,
because
he could have paid for college and everything.
Right,
with
he couldn't get out.
It's really that's really where it starts.
It's his sacrifice. It's a sort of thing you just don't see in a movie anymore. The message is he's sacrificing for people other than himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message. And at the end, the whole town is better for it. You
know? What a novel idea to care about other people besides yourself.
I love when she's like, oh, I just need 1742 or something like that.
And he kisses her.
I love you.
I love the guy. It always bugged me that the guy wanted his $242 until I finally realized, I don't know why it took me so long, this time around, he's the first one in the door.
Right.
When they, at the end of the movie, he's the first one in the door to bring him money.
Yes, mm-hmm. he feels really bad.
And also, it's great from a script standpoint. The first couple people, just give me my whole account. And just close out my account. No, your account's still open. It takes the third person. You know, well, how about...
$17.52.
I love that he jumps across and kisses her. Yeah.
It was so sweet.
And then at the end, when they're looking at the clock and they're like, "Ugh, we got $2 left. We're still in business."
It's a man who's wanting to not only save his community but his friends.
There is no man who is poor who has friends.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. My god,
that's the message of the movie.
I
not,
just
hey,
want to talk to the
not
guy
the
who
message
wrote this
is
movie,
what a
like,
bitch Mary for
start
I wanted
with
him to
the
say.
Wish.
No, it didn't
no,
start with a
Justine.
Wish.
No, Justine. This had already happened. You already know Potter's going to be a problem when he's rolling through the streets in his
all
horse
she's
and
wishing
carriage
is that they,
and almost
all,
runs over
she's
George.
She's just wishing that they get married and they live in that house. It's
yes.
a pretty innocuous wish.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a house in that city that kept him in there.
No, it's not it.
That's
he's
not
trying
it,
to
Justine.
Save the town.
That's
he knows
all I saw watching the movie.
If he leaves, the town falls into Potter's
you
clutches.
Truly. I love that he kisses him at the end and then he slams his hat down on his head.
Because Capra started in slapstick comedy. He directed Harry Langdon comedies.
Okay, very
so
good.
That whole thing with the top hat and doing like that, all that physical comedy, he started his career with Harry Langdon.
He does the hat for the tip. And,
my God, that's beautiful.
I love that.
Where he just tilts his head forward in the water.
It's good stuff. All right, let's give it our ratings, guys.
So many touches. Violet.
I'm going to give this a 5.
Fuck you.
So we'll skip Justine because it's a 5.
This is a 10. This is,
yeah. This is absolutely a 10.
10. John?
It's a 10. It's an 11. If I gave the Godfather, an 11, this has got to be an 11.
All right.
Yeah.
Give it a 9.5.
Somebody strangle.
No, that's a good, solid rating.
I love this. I love this movie.
You had never seen this, Jake?
No, I'd seen it. I love this movie.
What'd you give it, Patrick?
It's a 10.
A 10.
If this was not on a scale from 1 to 10, I would rate it higher.
All right.
No pressure,
so thank you, everybody, for coming out.
Justine,
well, let's put it this way. Let's assume that crazy ass, it's the wish that does him in. Did you enjoy the movie? Or were you just like full of like...
I still think it was the wish. That's my...
I know, but
that's
did
my
you,
whole theory
but did
on
you
the
enjoy the
movie
or did that ruin the movie for you that this wish did him in?
I mean, it's sad because he never really got to do some of those things.
You know, movies at this time didn't have that kind of subtlety and subtext.
You don't know. Maybe the guy
well, there is a movie called I Married a Witch. But what'd you think? Did you enjoy it or were you just like watching the clock the whole time?
No, it was a good movie.
Well, there you go.
What
so
do you rate
it?
What do you give it?
I give it an 8.5.
Hey! Whoa! Shit! There you go.
There's nothing more to say, guys. Merry Christmas for John, for Patrick, for Jake.
Miracles do come true.
For Justine. It's a Christmas miracle. Attaboy, Justine.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you...